Yeah. For sure. We need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists.
I appreciate
you know,
that, man. For
yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Listen, this is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Many faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. Della made clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's the New York Hip Hop Report. Wow. Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, we're kind of off and on these days, but tonight we are on, and we appreciate you for checking us out. My name is Manny Faces. I'm the founder and editor-chief of Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, the number one website for New York area hip-hop, and, of course, the home of the world-famous New York hip-hop area calendar that exists on birthplacemag.com, which keeps you filled to the brim with all kind of going-ons and happenings in the New York area regarding hip-hop music and culture. Very important. And culture, not just hip-hop music, not just rappity-ass rappers, but also photography exhibitions and art exhibitions and panel discussions and indie shows and underground shows and big concerts and whatever it is that's going on. We tend to try to curate and put on the Birthplace Magazine event calendar. It's a little light right now. We have a lot of stuff in the queue that we're getting ready to place up there for the summer. And, of course, we've had some great summertime things going on, including some of the summer stage events. And we're bringing all of those to you the best that we can on the birthplacemag.com event calendar, one of the only places that brings all these kind of events to your attention in one place. Aside from that, we are here Sunday nights, generally every Sunday night. This is our third year. We've been doing this for now 3 years. And we're here normally Sunday nights, 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. We have been a little bit choppy with our schedule. We apologize and we thank you. Of course, all of our shows can be heard not only live, but also on the archive. So you can always check nyhiphopreport.com for the latest show to be placed up on the archives. And, of course, you can also find us through iTunes or your favorite podcast software on your phone. We're podcasted and available for listening at your leisure. So our shows are great live, and we appreciate you when you're live. It's definitely that live vibe. We want you to call up and give us your two cents about things. But each show is just as good reheated in the microwave as it is served hot from the grill. Once again, my name is Manny Faces, and I did found and I continue to operate Birthplace Magazine as well as this show. But this show I couldn't do by myself because it would just be me talking all the time. And as my wife will tell you, that gets annoying when it's just me talking all the time. But so luckily, and for your sake and mine, I'm joined every show by my man, my mellow. His name is Steve Ortiz. And he's up in the Bronx where the people are fresh. What up, Steve?
Hey, what up, Manny? What's up, everyone? Glad to be on tonight. This is where it's at. I wish, you know, more people would tune in and really check, you know, what's going on here, because, you know, we have a good platform for, you know, New York hip-hop, and people should be tuning in, man. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of crap out there that people are listening to, man. You know, listen to something positive, gain some information. And, you know, I think your life will, you know, be in a much better place, you know, when you're exposed to different things.
Yes.
You know, everyone's exposed to the same shit over and over. It's just crazy.
That's what it is. You know, it's what they say is, you know, there's the media, the mainstream media, the radio stations and the publications online have a real stranglehold on, you know, what we are exposed to. And in our history here on this show, you know, we've never been anti what's on the radio. You know, we've had our issues with what's on the radio and how, you know, corporate America treats hip hop and such. But we're with you if you guys are complaining or not happy with the state of hip hop or how hip hop is presented to the masses, because, you know, especially as New Yorkers, you know, we know that there's more to it than what's on, you know, Hot 97, Power 105. There's more to it than what's on, you know, well, not even anymore, 106 and Park. You know, there's more to hip hop. There's more to rap. There's more to the arts that are attached with it. There's more to the culture. So we exist to tell you that. And Steve, I agree with you. I wish more people were listening. And it's like, you know, pulling teeth sometimes to get people to understand that we're here giving you great advice and great alternatives.
Yeah, we're not selling anything. We're not, you know, trying to grab you into our cult. I mean, it's... I'm
trying to start a cult. But, you know, other than that, forget the cult part. That's kind of crazy. You know, we got to sacrifice goats and all that. But forget that. Like, we don't make anyone do that. But, yeah, no, you know, it is what it is. It's tough to... but at the same time, we have tons of people who listen to us and follow us. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listens every week to our shows on the archives. So we're extremely grateful. The ones who are tuned in and get tuned in and turned up to us, you know, they're very appreciative of the stuff that we deliver. So shouts to all of you who are listening. You know, I don't want to diminish your loyalty. And we appreciate you very, very much. A lot of things in the works that are going to help, you know, expand the audience. Because as you guys know, you know, who listen to us, you know that we put you on to some things that you wouldn't have normally known about that are here. I mean, sometimes we talk about things that literally have been going on for, you know, 10 years. And, you know, for whatever difficulties of promoting, marketing, publishing, being drowned out by, you know, everybody, every blog Dick and Harry, you know, who calls himself Writing for Hip Hop. You know, it gets confusing. It gets a lot of noise, and it's tough to cut through the clutter. So we're here for you, and we want to tell you about what's going on and give you some other viewpoints about hip hop. This tonight, we're going to have callers from one of such event. You know, listen, if you know us, we like to talk about events that happen on a regular basis that, you know, maybe bring out some of the best in hip hop. And one of these events is called Supreme Bars. Steve, it's a monthly event. And what they do is they combine not only an MC battle, because we see the MC, you know, battle happen a lot. We see it, you know, happen in a really exciting manner. One of my favorite, you know, MC battles in rap happens at EO Dub end of the week. And it happens. They have a weekly event at EO Dub. They have a weekly every Sunday night, the Pyramid Club, 101 Avenue A. You know, long-running, 13, 14 years, longest-running, you know, hip-hop, you know, kind of open mic, you know, event in New York City, probably in the world. And they rock out, man. Shouts to our friends at EO Dub. And if you're a new artist, you got to cut your teeth on that stage. You got to appear on that stage. But one of the things they do on a semi-regular basis is called the MC Challenge. The MC Challenge over there is super dope. And it puts MCs through a gamut of things that they have to do. They have to freestyle. They have to do, you know, kind of a song. They have to reach into a grab bag and pull out items and hold them up and rap about them, you know, randomly. It's there's like, you know, it's literally like a mini rap Olympics, you know, in one night.
Yeah.
And I love when they do it, and it's fun, and it's all great. So that's one aspect of it. We see producer battles, beat battles. Shouts to the iStandard, the folks at iStandard, who have been for a long time running producer showcases and beat battles to bring out some of the best in hip-hop's production side. Supreme Bars, run by a organization called Presidium Events, is one of those organizations that puts both in the same mix and lets producers rock their beats while MCs rock over them. And then each one gets voted on by a team of, like a panel, you know, judges panel. And then they move on to the next round of this battle. So it goes through the course of a night. You get to hear some really great beats from some emerging producers. You get to see some really great, you know, verbal acrobatics from some emerging MCs. And at the same time, So that's pretty unique, you know, where you kind of do that at the same time. So we're going to talk to those guys tonight, including one of the winners. I think we have a producer winner, or we certainly have an MC winner that's calling up. We have a host that's calling up. And, of course, the organizer of the event himself will be checking in with us. So shouts to Supreme Bars as an MC or as a producer or as a fan. This is the kind of event you should know about. It happens once a month. I think it's Wednesday night. I think it's like the third Wednesday of the month. So they'll be having an event this Wednesday, the 15th. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it with them this this fine Sunday evening. Sounds good to you, Steve. I like the event.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
You know, it sounds great, and it makes people that come to compete or spit, you know, makes them step their game up because they know they're not just freestyling at some regular, you know, open mic where someone's just, you know, playing the beat in the background and they're just, you know, spitting on it.
Yeah.
I like that it's challenging, you know, and it separates, you know, the cream from the rest of the guys in the bucket, just, you know, they're thinking they can rhyme like everybody else, but they're really whack.
Yeah, no doubt.
I give people the props for coming out and you know, and showing what they got, but there's just a, you know, with the internet and the way music is being consumed these days, there's just so many people, you know, out there making music, and, you know, you have to, people say it's easy, but I would think it's much more difficult to get noticed these days. And I think it's getting more and more so complicated because people know that the internet is where you can pretty much throw everything on there for free. But, you know, everyone's getting buried. You know, if you don't have formula to, you know, you're going to get buried. And if you're whacked on top of that, I mean, you know, that's, you shouldn't even be, you know, you should choose another profession.
I agree completely. I think that, you know, you know, again, for MCs and for producers, it's a place to hone your craft and to get good. Some of these cats that rock on these stages are really good. They're professionals in a manner of they've been doing this for a long time. They've refined their craft. They get up there and they perform and they compete and they blow it out the water. Daron Lev, we're going to talk to Daron Lev. You know, he won the damn thing like four times in a row or three times in a row. He kept winning. He's good. Like it's tough to beat some of these cats. He ended up becoming a host because he was just killing it every time. And nobody could take him out. And there are certain MCs that are suited for certain things. So while we have a lot of open mics and showcases, you know, as an MC, as an independent artist, and we have a lot of them that listen to this show, you got to find the places that you can hone your craft and get out of your comfort zone. If you're not a good freestyler, well, listen, the best thing you need to do is go freestyle, is go to the Supreme Bars or go to Freestyle Mondays, you know, first Monday of every month, and get on the open mic and rock off the top of your head. It helps you, like I said, refine and hone your craft. And these events exist for you. Now, as a fan, there's so many people that are like, oh, I can't stand what's on the radio. And it's like these events, again, Supreme Bars, End of the Week, Freestyle Mondays, these are the types of events in New York City that cater to the more lyrical aspect of hip-hop, the more traditionalist, purist aspect of hip-hop that you might be a fan of. Maybe you're an older cat that, you know, came up in the 80s, 90s, and when lyricism exploded and you still have that affinity for, you know, boom-bap type hip-hop. Maybe you're one of the new cats and you're listening to really lyrical dudes, you know, like Kendrick or J. Cole who are saying something, or even in New York City, like, you know, folks like, you know, Pharoah Monch is still out there doing things, young cats like YC the Cynic, cats we talked about all the time on this show. If that's your style of hip-hop, you know, Joey Badass and Pro Era and them, then these are the type of events you need to be at. So they really exist to cover both angles. Like either you're an artist in the game and you're trying to get better, expand your audience, you know, walk, you know, get on this stage, perform your ass off, and then walk through the crowd and get email addresses. You know what I mean? Hand out a flyer, do whatever you have to do, because they're not huge crowds. We're not talking about, you know, Nokia Theater, but the people who are there are either artists themselves or producers that you can network with, or they're fans of the culture and the other aspects of music, that's where you need to be.
Yeah.
You know, so we hear him complain. It's like, no, but there are opportunities to find this type of stuff, right?
Yeah, people got to put themselves out there. You know, the artists, the fans coming to the show, it's really, you have to be engaged and you have to want to do these things. You know, the artists, you know, like you said, you know, when they're done performing, get out in the crowd, you know, meet a few people. And I think that's key because, you know, and that's free. I mean, you just get off the stage and you can talk to a few people. That's, you can't go wrong. But, you know, I think a lot of artists, some artists, you know, they miss that opportunity because their heads, you know, are elsewhere, whether it's on women or chasing the dollars that, you know, aren't there. You know, you have to be realistic and you have to really focus on what you really want. And you should really, you know, have smart people in your corner that, you know, are working to support, you know, working with you and not against you.
Right. I agree completely. And again, not only for the artists, but for you guys, a lot of you guys are fans you know, you're excited about hip hop. We talk to you sometimes and we tell you, listen, you know, don't think that what's on the radio dictates the entirety of what you're in New York City. It is still, I argue, it is still the most diverse and the most progressive city for hip hop music and culture on the planet. So all this stuff exists. You know, it's important to understand that. Case in point, we just had a big concert event yesterday in Brooklyn. You know, once again, if anyone's listening and you are checking in with us, if you attended the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival, give us a call, man. We'd like to hear what you thought about the event. You can call us in at 646-378-1282. The number should be in front of you. We'd love to know what you think of this year's event. We didn't attend this year. Myself, I was elsewhere handling some business matters. I was doing some private DJing, and it was very important that I do it. So I wasn't able to attend myself. I saw that the big headliner, Common was headlining this year's Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. Yeah. Mobb Deep performed. Shouts to a former call-in guest of this show, Mike Hands. Mike Hands was on stage earlier in the festival with a bunch of people from the Writer's Block concert series that happens, of course, another ongoing event in New York City. Video Music Box was there. I know Sadiq.
Pitch Black Brass Band were there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so we had a number of Astro perform, or I think it's just like Stro now. Is that what it is? Stro.
Yeah.
I think
Chelsea Reed. Stro, because he was Astronomical Kid.
Yeah, Astronomical Kid. Now I think he was Astro. Now I think he's Stro, the lyricist, or something like that. Chelsea Reject was supposed to perform. I believe she did. But the big headliner was Common. And if you checked out the show, you'll know that the big... Now, listen, the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival, well, we've had their people on this show in the past. We didn't have them on this year. But in the past, we've supported this ongoing endeavor. It's now the 11th year, Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. They've, in the past, had a lot of days where they dedicated their resources to different avenues, different verticals in hip-hop. They've had a film festival, which they did again this year, very small. I mean, they call it a film festival, but it's like one day where they show a couple of films. It's not, I wouldn't really call it a film festival, but it is what it is. They had a big multi-discipline event at Little Field, I think Friday night, where they had some graffiti art and they had some, you know, B-boys and stuff in the house. You know, kind of all crammed into one night, which, you know, whatever. You're paying, you know, homage to different elements of hip-hop. That's cool. But the big event is usually the big event, and this was, you know, this year's big event. In the past, we've had, you and I, Steve, attended when Q-Tip was the headliner, Q-Tip and Friends. He brought out a bunch of people, and Kanye West made a surprise appearance at that year's. Then, of course, Busta Rhymes, one of the recent headliners, and there was the Leaders of the New School, Tribe Called Quest reunion. They did Scenario for the first time together in like 20 years, which is an amazing moment in hip hop. Huge
crazy
surprise. huge moment. You know, the place went crazy. Last year, Jay Electronica was one of the headliners. And, of course, the surprise appearance by the man himself, Jay-Z. Jay-Z came out in the middle of the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival, which was amazing, the 10-year anniversary of that organization's event. So that was great. This year, you know, so we kind of, you know, said, listen, you know, there's usually some pretty good surprise guests. There's usually some pretty good action on the main stage. Seemed like a pretty good show, pretty good lineup. A lot of people came out. It was a great day for it. In the past, the weather's been iffy, but this was a great day. The weather was amazing, and Common was the headliner. Heard Mobb Deep did their thing. Common came out and brought out Foxy Brown. That was the big surprise guest. Kind of weird, if you ask me. I'm not sure, like...
They haven't even done a song together, have they?
It was kind of weird to me, you know. I'm not sure how that came to be. I saw video clips of her doing, you know, Ain't No, you know, the Jay-Z joint that she's, of course, famous for. And, okay, cool. So
Foxy
Brown.
It's a Brooklyn thing. She's from Brooklyn.
Definitely a Brooklyn thing. Definitely probably, you know, a great moment. If you guys saw the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival or you're in attendance, give us a call. 646-378-1282. Love to hear what you think about it. So, looked like a solid, you know, solid day of hip-hop, man. A solid day of hip-hop in Brooklyn. Definitely a good amount of people that were there. Shouts to, of course, Sky Zoo, who performed. He has a great new album out that you should check out. Sky Zoo has been we've been longtime supporters of Sky Zoo. Lyricist. You know, when people say that there's no lyricism in hip-hop anymore and that no one's doing that kind of music, you know, we laugh and we point to people like Sky Zoo because, you know, he's been doing stuff for a very long time and put out great music. And his new album, Music for My Friends, is available, and it's really an epitome. He's been an epitome of a lyricist, you know, through the years. Charles Hamilton performed. He's been kind of off the grid for a little while. He came out and performed. There was an Executioner show. DJ Rob Swift was performing. John Robinson, PVD, they performed. Some really underground, legendary-type cats on the underground. Our friends, the Pitch Black Brass Band, were on hand at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. I like that they brought them out. We've been supporters of them as well. These guys really incorporate, you know, a full New Orleans-sounded brass band. And hip-hop, lyricism, and rapping and such. Really exciting music that they make and really great performances. We've written about them on birthplacemag.com, so we've been up on them for a while. DJ Parler was holding down music, and Lion Babe was there. Lion Babe is dope. It's sort of a male-female kind of electronic soul music, and they're really dope. Freeway was in attendance. You know,
why do we always expect... I mean, I guess we get used to, like... you know, the final performer bringing out guests, but I'm like almost feeling like, you know, maybe the final performer should just perform and just do their own thing. You know, the time for all the guests would have been before the headliner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess
it's
so.
It's cool, but it's... You're talking about
Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival or just in general, like in concerts when you have a headliner act, you expect...
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you're going to have guests, I don't know. I mean, I love Foxy Brown. I love Common. Got nothing against him. Like, I'm nothing against her showing up and doing a slot. But, you know, I was looking at one of the articles, I think it was allhiphop.com or another site, Gothamist, where they're talking about it. And they're saying that people were expecting, you know, some big moment, like, you know, like it didn't meet the expectations of last year's, you know, Jay-Z, you know, joining Jay Electronica on stage.
Right.
No, it can't. Oh, that can't always be the case. It can't be. You know, when Kanye jumped on the stage when Q-Tip performed, those are great moments. You know, I mean, I guess people, expecting, you know, a big, you know, aha moment, and then, you know, when they don't get it, then they, you know, they want to start talking crap and saying, oh, you know, last year's is better, blah 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 blah. But you know, they don't look at the show as a whole and say, you know, despite that, you know, what about everything that came before Common to the stage?
I agree with you. I think that it's become a thing, you know. I guess, you know, probably Summer Jam.
It's predictable. I mean, just let artists stand on their own. You know, be at the show. You know, Common has had a, you know, a great career in my eyes. I mean, And you know, he could easily just go up there and just perform his thing. And, you know, if he wants to bring someone out, that's
we've seen that. Listen, we've seen that. I appreciate that greatly because, you know, who was it? Pusha T. Pusha T headlined the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival a couple years ago. And I'm not a big Pusha T fan. Like, I dig what he does. And of course, I like the songs that I know, you know, that are on the radio and such. I don't dig too much into his catalog. But he performed for like 45 minutes, didn't bring out a soul. And killed
That's
it.
What
like
you want
I was
to see.
I was totally impressed. Like, I became a Pusha T fan when I saw him rock for 45 minutes without bringing a single guest and rock songs that I didn't know but delivered them so well that I was like, "Yo, he really came with it." Like, he really got, you know, he's doing his thing. So, I agree that, you know, that I like the surprise. Listen, Summer Jam, I mean, when Jay-Z brings out Michael Jackson, he didn't perform. But, you know, like, you set the bar. Like, you made it so that these concert events are, you know, special surprise guests are going to be the thing. But I guess what I'm saying is, and I'm agreeing with you that, and I like a surprise. When Kanye came out, you know, and I'd heard about it, you know, when we were there that year, Q-Tip did it, we had heard through the grapevine, our people's, you know, I'd heard that, you know, Kanye was finna come out. You know, that was a great moment. But if you're going to have surprise guests just for the sake of surprise guests, and they're not at that level, not to take anything away from Foxy Brown, but I don't know if I had gone this year to Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival knowing the legacy of surprise things or things that happened, I would have felt it a little deflated only because, you know, they set the bar so high in the past. So, what can I tell you? I'm sure it was a great moment. You know, everyone was happy. And, you know, it was what it was. But I agree with you, Steve. You know, what do you call it? Guests for the sake of guests are never never a good thing. So, you know, that's what I got to say.
Who happened to be backstage?
Yeah, listen. Oh, we got a caller. All right, so let's go to the phones real quick. This brother right here actually is a former participant in the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival and every single damn music festival that you could ever go to on the planet. This brother has performed at, and he is a constant presence on the road, constant presence in, you know, festivals and you know, music performances. Used to be a heavy New York cat, but I think he lives out, Lord knows where he lives now, east, west coast somewhere. His name is Kosha Dills. He's on a check-in. Kosha Dills, what up, brother?
Hey, Kosha. Oh, looks like
we just lost him. Technology, man.
Yeah,
he
looked
Dills.
Like he was having a bad connection, but hopefully he'll call us right back. I was just
all
about
right,
to set my number down, too, so.
All right, cool. Kosha Dills on the check-in, always calls, never calls. always on. He rocked at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival a couple years ago, and of course, like I said, he's a veteran of the festival scene. He performs all over the world. Great freestyle cat. He's pretty dope, and does some great music. And he's a constant presence at these things. I wonder what his take on your question would be. You know, like I said, having surprise guests for the sake of surprise guests. Nobody wants that, you know. So, like I said, you know, I don't know if it was necessarily the best thing to have Foxy Brown come on. I just don't see the connection, so it's kind of weird. Once again tonight, joining us tonight about 10:40 or so should be the folks from Supreme Bars. They are a monthly event. Goes on where they have an MC challenge and a producer challenge. Check the birthplacemag.com event calendar for that and all kinds of upcoming events in the New York City area. Of course, the Hip Hop Revolution photo exhibit is still going on at the Museum of the City of New York. Shouts to our good friend Joe Conzo and some of the other pioneering hip hop photographers who have a great ongoing exhibition over there. I want to shout out to Gina. Gina is in charge of the Women of Melanoid Art Exhibition and Sale this Saturday at the Art Studio over in Chelsea. The address is on the listing in birthplacemag.com. I talked to Gina earlier today for an episode of the Manny Faces show. So if you want to find out more about the Women of Melanoid Art Exhibition and Sale, this is going on July 18th. It's not a true hip-hop event in the sake of, you know, that there's no performance. It's not a hip-hop thing, but it is an art thing, and there's some ties, of course. We always try to highlight artists that have a hip-hop flavor or organizations that have a hip-hop flair, and it doesn't always have to be hip-hop music to be hip-hop, you know what I mean? Voice of the People, artistic creations, those things are hip-hop, and, you know, making something out of nothing, we find is very inspirational. So Gina Humber has put together this art exhibition and sale. We encourage people to check it out. And if you want to find out more about that, listen to the Many Faces show. It happens on Bonfire Radio, bonfireradio.com out of Brooklyn. My other podcast, my other show is live. It airs at Thursday, every alternating Thursday at 8:30 p.m. on bonfireradio.com, and it also exists on bonfireradio.com and manyfaces.com as a archived show. I'm entering my second season of that show. This is the first show of the second season, so I'm really appreciative for Bonfire Radio.
Listen, Matt, what's going on with, you know, anything new on what's going on with the supposed hip hop museum?
Did you hear something?
Pause.
Did you see something?
No, I knew I'd get a long pause from you when I asked you that question.
It's worthy of its own show. It's actually worthy of its own article or what have you. The Hip Hop Museum, Hip Hop Hall of Fame. Two things that people try to do in the hip hop, and we've seen several organizations, several entities try to do it. The Hip Hop Hall of Fame and or a Hip Hop Museum. I haven't heard anything new, but I've seen over the years several attempts at putting together something. Now, on the surface, and recently, a few months ago, there was a press release put out by one of the organizations that has been putting out press releases for 10 years, stating that they're, you know, building this thing or that they're having this thing happen. And every news organization that does zero due diligence, and I'm talking about mainstream news organizations as well as hip-hop media organizations, jumped on this story about this, that the Hip Hop Museum is going to live, and they don't realize that this organization has been putting out press releases that have been full of shit for 10 years, and that there is no progress, that I can tell, no discernible progress on a Hip Hop Museum or Hall of Fame from this organization or any of the others who have tried to do it. I'll say this, I'm not going to go into it too much because I'd like to go into it in depth at another time, but I'll say this, Steve, there is no hip-hop museum. There is no hip-hop Hall of Fame. There is not going to be a hip-hop Hall of Fame. There's not going to be a hip-hop museum. One would think that it would be a very supportive. People will jump at the notion. When you say, should there be a hip-hop museum and Hall of Fame, people will jump up and down and say yes. Absolutely, they will say. But the fact of the matter is that the organizations who attempt to do these things do it wrong. The organizations and the entities who feel that they should be involved or, you know, a part of it or will be insulted if they're left out are many.
Mm-hmm.
The two don't often talk to each other. One of the times, that Steve, we covered this in the past, we saw that an organization that was attempting to create a Hip Hop Hall of Fame had actual beef directed at them from some of the pioneers of hip-hop, some of the elders, elder statesmen, the early, you know, OGs of the game, where they expressed their displeasure that they weren't as involved or as consulted with or a part of. And you have factions of the pioneers of hip-hop that are at odds with each other. They're not all on the same page. So to the general public, if you say, should there be a Hip-Hop Hall of Fame or a hip-hop museum, you know, the resounding answer is yes. I mean, look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame over in Ohio. Look at, you know, hip-hop's, you know, contribution to society and arts
the
and
rock
humanities.
And Roll Hall of Fame.
Absolutely
does
should.
Does the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame actually have, I mean, they've taken in inductees, you know, Public Enemy, I think one of the more recent ones. Do they have an actual hip-hop exhibit up there? I'm not sure.
I don't know if they separate because they are the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's odd, too, because...
I think the Beastie Boys, I think Grandmaster Flash.
There's a few people who are...
Nevada.
But I think that's awkward. I think it's awkward. I think it's very awkward to tell you this. And yeah, should they have a live
experience? Well, that's because we have nothing of our own.
You're right. You're right. And I don't think that we will. Not if it's done by the current crop or the previous crop of organizations that have attempted it. And like I said, I'll speak more on it, I think, because I do have many, many thoughts on it, and I have some. I don't want to get. First of all, I also think I have. I have the answer. You know, I have the answer. I know how you. I think I know how you should do it. Or I have some ideas. I'm not going to give that away for free. You better pay me. I'm a business consultant. I do this for a living. I'm in the media business. You know, but at the same time, you know, for the love of hip hop, I don't think anybody who's trying to do it so far has done it correctly, and I think they've actually done the idea a great disservice. We've had organizations in the past that have started to put it together and have taken money as donations and then haven't done a damn thing for 5 years. So where'd that money go? Like when you ask for donations, I don't even know if it's tax deductible
and
or whatever.
In hip-hop, there's a lot of that. Where did the money go? And not just with the Hip-Hop Museum. So that's one of the biggest problems in hip-hop.
You're right about that, sir. You're right about that. So we'll talk about this in greater depth. As people know who know me, I keep my eye on the media and I keep my eye on these organizations, and we will speak truth to power. We will take you on, and we will, ask you the tough questions. So believe me, we're watching, and if nobody else is, because what they do is they literally print a regurgitation of a press release and take that as gospel.
Yes. They should be arrested. They should be prosecuted. I mean, you're taking money every year, and you're using it for who knows what, and there's nothing, there's not even a damn, a year-long exhibit at any of the museums.
Right, right.
Even
so
in
now,
the city. I mean, you can't even get that together. For a long stretch of time. I mean, you have the photo exhibits, and you do have the exhibitions from time to time, but there's nothing of any permanence anywhere.
Right, right. And I think that's partially our own fault, and I say our as hip-hop, but I think that I want to give a shout-out to, and I'll speak more about this in the future. I want to give a shout out to JM. He is the founder and the guy in charge of the festival that I went to in Lyon, France. It's called Les Original Festival, and it's in France. It was the 10-year anniversary of this wonderful yearly hip hop show festival. 5 days long. I went in 2012, and I wrote about it for birthplacemag.com. It was a great experience. We broadcasted this show live from France.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I was over there. It was like 4:30 in the morning for me over there. And it was crazy. And we broadcast live from France, and I gave you an update about what was going on there. I met with him. He's in New York. He was in New York for a number of reasons, some meetings. He had some meetings with some other people, and he was here for the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. And we talked to him, and he's got something going on in France that is that pays homage to hip hop in a very proper way. I'm going to give you more information about that in the future. We plan to be involved in some way, so that's a great, great thing. What he's doing is sort of the right way to do it, and the reason why it's not going to work, I don't think, in America, ironically, the home of hip hop, anytime soon. Too many organizations that want to put together a hip-hop Hall of Fame or a hip-hop museum, I truly believe, are in it for the wrong reasons. They know there's a lot of money there. They know that this is a lucrative thing. Whoever controls that controls a large portion of the narrative of hip-hop. And these are organizations that are coming in from a commercial capitalistic point of view. One organization, used to have a TV show. One organization is sort of grassroots in nature, but they're the ones that really weren't giving some of the pioneers their props. And the pioneers, each little faction of the pioneer groups, want to be the ones that are sort of the governing body. It has to be done independently. It has to be done altruistically, where there may not be a huge amount of money made from it, but that it exists as a preservation of the art and the culture. And nobody wants to do that, Steve. everyone wants to run a blog and write about all the drama shit that happens in hip-hop and get the clicks and get some advertising and get some money. What we do on this show and on birthplacemag.com, and, you know, we just give you, like, the actual stories. We give you people. We give you events.
People don't
we
want that.
People want it. People want
it. They do want it, but at the same time, they
don't. Nobody wants to do it, because when you do it, you don't make any money. You know what I mean? When Pumpkinhead died, as one of our last stories, we're sort of slow on birthplacemag.com. It's a semi-unofficial hiatus. I'm going to put up some information about that. When Pumpkinhead died, every rap magazine jumped on the story. But they weren't
jumping
on Pumpkinhead. Go ahead, you say it.
No, you say it.
Go ahead.
They were never talking about Pumpkinhead before.
That's exactly it. I wrote a huge piece about when every hip-hop site jumped
MTV
on the fact that
talking
that,
about it. I mean,
that,
like, really?
You remember when Five Points, when the graffiti mecca of the world got whitewashed? Every hip-hop site was talking about it because it was drama. Oh, my God. Yo, how could they do this? They whitewashed the owners of the building, painted over all this graffiti. It was in the news. It was big. But they weren't there 2 weeks earlier when the people at Five Points were at a community board meeting begging the council to in court with judges, begging the judges, don't let them destroy our art. We just want to preserve our art. How can we figure this out? And no blog was there, no hip hop site was there then,
exactly,
supporting
that. Where's MTV and you know, MTV just did Rock the Vote, and they used to stand behind all sorts of things, and you know, you couldn't, you know, mention something on the MTV news, you know, talking about the vote, like 2 minutes, like really?
Right, and that's
a minute. I mean, even a minute would be something.
You're right. That's why you won't find
a minute. How many minutes are in a day? Jesus. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
That's why you won't find, I think, any progress in the world. So you bring it up, you ask me about the hip hop museum. That's my two cents on it. That's my thoughts on it. I think it's a great idea. I think it needs to be done. I think the preservation of hip hop music and culture. Listen, big up to Cornell University that has the hip hop archives that are, you know, have a bunch of Afrika Bambaataa's vinyl collection, has a bunch of old flyers and club flyers. Has a bunch of Buddy Esquire, bunch of photographs from Joe Conzo. His photographs are on display from the early days of hip hop. Big shout.
Preserving it. That's the best thing anyone could do.
Big shouts to Brian Shiner from the B Shine, TheBShine.com. I'm an interviewee on TheBShine.com, but along with me, there's like 1,000 other interviews. This guy just decided that at some point he would walk up to hip hop pioneers and hip hop stars and record, put them on video, just talking about what inspires them. That's a preservatory type of journalism that's very important. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe it has to be that some, you know, a school or maybe like an NYU steps in and says, listen, we're not doing it for the money. We're doing it to preserve the culture and for generations.
I agree with you. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I have some ideas. I actually have some things in the works, Steve. I think if you'd be surprised. So pay attention to us. If you have 2 cents on this, of course, always feel free to call us up, 646-378-1282. On the New York Hip Hop Report, we do talk about this. It is important. It's a little inside baseball, but it's more important here than anywhere in the world. New York City, the Mecca, the birthplace. So New York Hip Hop Report, always willing to discuss these things, always talking about the preservation of the culture, and we always bring you great information about how you could participate in that, where you can go and see some of these exhibits and, you know, some of these, again, great events that are happening. Shouts to the Tools of War, 2015 Tools of War Park Jams, free park jams in the park every Thursday throughout July, Crotona Park in the Bronx right by you, Steve. Our friends Christy Z. Pabone, Popmaster Fable, Grandmaster Kaz, all the old school cats that are doing stuff. But at the same time, we just had Steez Day, the first annual Steez Day as part of Summer Stage. Joey Badass, Pro Era, a bunch of their friends came out and presided over Steez Day in honor of course, a fallen member of Pro Era, the young MC who was really talented and really well, had a great career ahead of him, who unfortunately passed away a couple years ago, Capital Steez. So in New York City, you can get the old classics, you can get pioneers. I mean, the Crotona Park Jams have DJs in the park. It's a free event. Some of the people coming up this Thursday, Bismarck E, DJ Rock and Rob, Chuck City. Next Thursday, Cool DJ Red Alert, Lord Finesse, Jazzy J. On the 30th is DJ Charlie Chase, Grand Wizard Theodore, Popmaster Fable on the decks. I mean, these are legendary. It's all hosted by Grandmaster Caz. It's free. It's in Crotona Park. It's you can walk up to your legends and pioneers in hip-hop. They're approachable. They're right here. You could talk to them. At the same time, for free, in New York City, you can go see the next generation blowing up. Summer stage events. You know, a number of events that we talk about. We threw a park jam on Father's Day that was really dope in Maria Hernandez Park in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You know what I mean? So we participate in this. We want you to know about these things. And you got to understand that there's so many different things, such a diversity of events and styles and whatever kind of hip-hop you like. It happens in New York City. You know what I mean? So we're here to tell you about that. Once again, we're brought to you by our Mothership Connection, Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, and the event calendar there. You'll find many of these events. I was talking to my man from France, Steve, and we were on a rooftop bar in Midtown Manhattan, and there were police sirens, and just like right what you heard right there by you, and he looks over to me. He looks over at me because, you know, they're loud, and it was like an ambulance or something, and we couldn't, like, talk for a second. And I looked at him. I winked. I was like, New York City. So, you know, there it is, man. The flavor of the city is alive and well. Once again, I tell you, my name is Manny Faces. This is the New York Hip Hop Report. We're here just about every Sunday night. Some skips on a record, but you can always check us out in our past episodes. Again, full of info like this, nyhiphopreport.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at nyhiphopreport. And all of our archive shows are really chock full of this kind of information, this kind of dialogue. If you have your 2 cents you want to chime in, please call us up, 646-378-1282. This is like sports talk radio, just hip-hoppier. You know what I mean? So give us your 2 cents. We talk about events, and as I spoke to you earlier in the show, we have the folks from another monthly event calling us up. It's a great combination, like I said, of finding MCs who are spitting their verbal acrobatics and doing it in a competitive format, and also joins forces with producers who are doing the same. It's pretty unique in that manner. You often find one or the other, but seldom both at the same time. The event is called Supreme Bars. And again, monthly event that we're fans of and friends with. We got Roberto De Jesus and
what up?
On the line with us. What up, guys? You're on with the New York Hip Hop Report. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it was good.
Hey, what up?
So now I know that you know what you guys have been doing, like I say, is sort of a unique experience. We talked about it earlier today where you're combining MC battles and producer battles, you know, for this, you know, this monthly competition. It's a very friendly competition, but it goes in like really hard. Like there's really a lot of competitive spirit. You know, tell us either one of you guys, you know, just, you know, where Supreme Bars came from, why the idea to combine these two different disciplines in one event. It seems
right.
It seems
very intense, just like you said. Like there's what most people don't know is that they don't know this until they get there, but the only rule is that people cannot trash talk each other. Because everybody wants that like 8 mile battle, you know, they want that, you know, they want to get at each other, that grind time, you know, much love to grind time. But that's basically what separates us from other shows, because the MCs are not allowed to talk trash with each other. And plus, I've created this as a networking event because I did a lot of networking events in the past. Yeah. And that's what spawned the idea for this competition. Like, I've been to a lot of MC battles. I've been to a lot of producer beat battles. I used to be part of producer beat battles. And I figured out there has to be a way, like, we can combine both at once. And we made it happen. I'm surprised this event hasn't been made a long time ago.
Yeah, no doubt.
And if you want to know, like, history-wise, like, I used to intern for D&D Studios with Craig G when he was part of D&D, and he would, like, take us all to Fat Beat and just jump in there and just start rapping about any record he saw. And I was like, yo, I got to be a part of that. That's really where it all stemmed from. We're talking, like, 2001.
Wow, I actually, fun fact, I interned at D&D Studios also for a very short period of time, for about, you know, a couple of weeks. I was there. I was a producer. I was a producer in my days, and I was there for a little. Met Guru over there. Met Smith and Wesson over there. I remember running to the store for them in the rain, and yeah. So D&D Studios, shout out to the legendary D&D Studios. So you were ingrained in hip hop. You were ingrained in the freestyle aspect of hip hop. Some of the really creative ways that hip hop can be expressed. There's a couple of events that touch upon that in New York City. Long running events. It's really something that's still valued, although not very common, to have, you know, an MC that freestyles, that does a lot of stylistic, has a lot of stylistic variants in their delivery. How important is that to have MCs like that in the Supreme Bars event?
It's funny you ask, because it wouldn't have been
supremely important.
Yeah, like Doron Lev right here is probably one of the best freestyle MCs I've heard in a while. He's won 3 times in a row. And to explain his style, that's something he has to do, because I can't even explain how he's able to do his craft.
Daron, talk to me about freestyling, man. I know you, and I've seen you rock at several freestyle type events, and you're literally, your brain is unlike other people, and I think that you should see a doctor. You should probably see a doctor or a psychiatrist, because your brain doesn't
function. That's why he's Ugly Brain. That's why his name is Ugly Brain, too.
That's what it is. So tell me about that. Tell me about freestyling, the quote-unquote lost art of freestyling, which isn't lost at all. It's great when you find it and it's out here. Tell me about how important freestyle is to the art of emceeing.
Well, I think at a point when they started calling the exclusive written rhymes that you would only hear on an exclusive mixtape or over a random beat, when they started calling those freestyles, people started to maybe even favor those, because you would hear a dope Jadakiss freestyle or some shit and you would like that. But then you would hear other people who were freestyling, and even though you knew they were really coming off the top, maybe it didn't sound as hot. But then it was now there's people who have stepped up to make sure that even though they're improvising in the moment really off the top, it still doesn't suffer in the lyrical wit or in the ability to ride the rhythm. And so that's why it's kind of like, you know, events like this are important for those people who really – you know, are doing it on a unique level, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It's true. Like, the radio really did dilute the word freestyle, and it's basically, oh, it just means you're not rapping off the top anymore. It's just there's no style to whatever you're rapping to. No.
Right.
Freestyle should be taken back from when it first started in the late 70s, early 80s.
Now, there is an argument, though, that that's actually one of the definitions of freestyle, you know, that free of style. You know, there's a famous quote Big Daddy Kane stated it at one point, where he said that to him, to some of the people in his, you know, era, his, you know, a, you know, area of expertise, that's kind of what it meant. But I'm with you guys. I think that maybe that's what it was once, but freestyle really should be the improvisational off the top of the head, freestyle fellowship type of stuff, you know, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, but I think even Kane was talking about, because you would have to have an arsenal of rhymes that you weren't going to, and nobody was going to hear on any beat, that you could spit for your local competition or when people challenged you, when they saw you and wanted to know who you were. But eventually, when other MCs stepped their game up, round for round, people ran out of written, so then you got to come off the head or you're done.
And honestly, I just commend those artists who can just rap literally about anything that they see, anybody in front of them, rap about themselves randomly to the audience, instead of someone memorizing something and getting on the radio station for 5 to 10 minutes rapping, and you're just like, okay, it's dope, but it's just another verse to me, you know?
Yeah. I saw Supernatural one time at a Rock the Bells function, and I was just amazed. You know, I had seen people freestyle before about for random things, but I was just amazed that, you know, you could take anything, you know, your dirty sock, you know, your wet pamper, whatever it was, he would just, you know, just rhyme about it. And you know, and like you said,
yeah, Supernatural's a legend, that's without a doubt.
Yeah, so, I mean, Matt Prost.
And that's why that whole battle with him and Craig G was like one of the most epic freestyle battles ever in history.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it's great. I love when people are keeping the freestyle thing alive. Again, this event that you throw, the Supreme Bars monthly event, has a lot of freestyle in it. Talk about the production side of things for a minute. Like, you know, how interesting is that? You know, bringing in some of these emerging producers and having, it's not freestyle. It's not making beats on the spot, but it's adding a different element to the
exactly.
Battle. Yeah, explain that.
I've thought about that, and that's probably going to be another event as well. Producers were able to get on stage and just, you know, make their own beats, but that does require a lot of equipment, a lot of time to prep.
Yeah.
I myself was a producer for a while. We're talking like when I did the D&D days, I was like, you know what, I can make beats. I ended up making a lot of beats. I ended up shooting some stuff out to Kanye, and that didn't work out. That's what we met via our producer organization called Dynamic Producer a while back. Shout out to Felicia Booker. made beats for a while, and I thought, like, maybe if I want to, I know how it feels like to be a struggling producer from back in the day. I know what it feels like to not be able to get your stuff out there. Like, people need to hear your beats. So I didn't want to just do a freestyle competition. How can I bring in the other side, the other struggling, you know, acts of hip hop, like not just MCs, but producers as well. No, they're not making the beats on stage, but they're definitely supplying the beats. And that's the thing with the audience really likes, because the MC's never heard the beat before, ever. So the MC has no choice but to actually work with the producer, just like in real life. Like, they hear a producer's beats and they have to try to make a track with it, with that producer.
Right.
It's just like real life. And that's why this networking party is perfect, because it literally brings together MCs and producers. And a lot of them exchange info and make music after the show.
Yeah. Also, from a contestant's point of view, it's pretty dope, because you get to hear these beats that you've never heard before. You've never had a chance to hear them. And then instead of rocking over some classics that maybe you've heard a million times, or some, yeah, you know, you get to hear these new producers' jams, and then, you know, if one of them wasn't up to snuff, the judges call it, and it's on to the next round. And then by the end, you have, you know, both the illest MC of the day and the producer who came with it. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's so rewarding to see people's faces when they hear a beat that they've never heard before, and they're just like, oh, snap, like, where did that come from? And then that producer's just standing there like, oh, wow, I didn't know my music was that good, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
It's very rewarding to put an event like that together and see people's reactions to the competitors.
I've seen that happen. My guests are Roberto De Jesus and Daron Lev, Ugly Brain, from the Supreme Bars monthly MC/producer battle that goes on monthly, because that's why it's monthly. We're talking about the event. We're talking about how it goes. Tell me about the audience and the people, man. Like, I know you get an audience full. When these events are very much like, oh, it's a rap show that has an audience full of rappers, and it's a producer battle, so there's an audience of producers. But you also get fans, and that's what I'm always trying to tap into, like the kind of people that really follow these kind of events and get something out of these events. You know, what has the reaction been from hip-hop fans that have stumbled across the show or heard about the show? What do you get feedback-wise from the people that, you know, again, we talk about this all
the time.
That's
a good question.
People don't think that this kind of stuff exists. When they find out that you're doing it, what's the kind of feedback you get?
That's a really good question. Whenever I go to different events, yeah, a lot of them are hip-hop related. A lot of them have, like, artists that I already know or artists who all know each other and whatnot. But you still get your set of people who are there just watching these hip-hop events. Like, people maybe might meet up at Summer Stage and whatnot. When I tell people the same tagline, you know, I have an MC freestyle competition paired with a producer beat battle, all of a sudden, like, what? And people have no idea what that means. They just like the sound of it, you know, as long as you have a good tagline for your event. So people come to the show. A lot of them are not artists. And to be honest, when we started the show at the end of last year, we've been actually getting a higher, like, female crowd, like more and more of the female crowd coming in. And honestly think it's because of a lot of performances that we have at the show outside of the competition. Like, we've had beatboxers, and we had, like, females respond more than males with this regard to, like, asking for the beatboxers to keep coming back and whatnot. Right. Add another element to the show.
Also, the crowd is responsible for some of the topics that get chosen in a couple of rounds. You know what I mean?
It's very user-friendly, yeah.
And then, always in the third round, there's something that Roberto does that's unique, is whether it's the stamp that you get on your hand or the bracelet you got or something on some kind of ticket, the crowd is responsible for solving some kind of riddle that then becomes the topic for the third round. So they're with it. The drinks aren't crazy expensive. The vibe is nice. Everybody's getting live in there. So it's so much fun.
Yeah. Like, everyone gets to network with each other, like, during the show, before the show, after the show. Everyone gets to meet each other, which is great. Even people who are just there to watch the show, they just happen to end up meeting people that they didn't know they would meet when they got there.
I think it's actually really exciting, because I know that, you know, when people who are, you know, the fans of rap, or, you know, they like hip hop, but they don't really realize the extent that people are, you know, like Steve was talking about, seeing Supernatural rock. Now, Supernatural's obviously, you know, a legendary cat, but again, Deron, with some of the stuff you've done, what we've seen some of our other friends do, I saw Rabbi Darkside. Like, it's an incredible thing.
Shout out to Rabbi Darkside.
It's an incredible thing to witness, and to see that, you know, the audience can, like, who's, like, I don't want to say stumbling across the event. It's well promoted, it's well attended, but they may not realize what they're getting into. They think it's a rap show, and that's cool, and then they see what you guys do on a freestyle tip, and that they can approach you afterwards. I think that's probably something that, you know, is really exciting for both artists and for the audience. No?
It happens all the time. It happens at every show. At the end, it's like, I didn't know it was going to be like this. How do I get down? I know a guy who makes beats. I know a guy who raps. How do they get down? You know,
it
always happens after the show. People have no idea what they're getting into. But I remind people when I tell them about the show that it's not a regular rap showcase. We have opening acts. We have pre-finale performances, but it's really a competition, and it's a very intense competition.
Absolutely.
It's a good training. It's like a hip-hop dojo kind of, because, like, you know, over the last few events, you could see some people who maybe were eliminated in the first round come back. Now they're going in the second and third round, and every time stepping up their game, it's kind of nice to see that.
What's up?
We definitely help people build their craft, and artists, and freestyle artists as well. You know, like Henny Mack, it wasn't until just a couple months ago that he went from, like, the first round to the very fourth round. Like, it surprised me, felt great. You know, Lex Rush won the last Supreme Bars. She's amazing. And she definitely worked her way up. She knew exactly what was going on in the show. She knew what the rounds were about. She studied, beat everybody. Simple as that.
Lex is dope. Lex is dope. Shout out to Lex Rush. Definitely definitely know who Lex is.
It's her birthday?
It's her birthday?
She had a birthday party yesterday, too.
Oh, damn. All right. That's what's up. Shout out to happy birthday, Lex. So what do we see happening with Supreme Bars as you move forward? Like you said, you're thinking about maybe adding some live beat instrumentation to it. But, you know, it's a good formula. I wouldn't suggest changing anything. I think it should ride as it is for some time.
That would probably be a whole different show. I like the formula of Supreme Bars.
So what is it? It's just going to, you know, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep growing, keep expanding. I think there's, you know, a lot of room for expansion with this event, but that's just me. What do you
there's
guys
There's so many
you know,
plans that we have for the show.
Yeah.
Like, the show is just not going to be the show by itself in Williamsburg for years on end. Like, I definitely have, like, for instance, I have a friend, Rudiman, who's probably going to help me make Supreme Bars happen in Philly. Like, we're going to move to other cities as well.
Okay.
There's this popular DJ who hit me up over at Czech Republic. Doran, you probably know her too. She was like, this show needs to be in the Czech Republic. There's a lot of love for hip-hop over there. I got friends in Australia who actually came to this show when they came to visit New York and thought that maybe Supreme Bar should be in Australia. And not just expanding to different cities, but we're also, for instance, there are some producers who just can't make the events. For instance, I got a friend over in Durham, North Carolina, and he's asking, like, how can he get down? I'm like, you know what? Why can't we just Skype? Why can't we just have producers send in their beats and the artists at the show can still freestyle over the beats while they're Skyped on the projector screen? So So
right.
That's a good way for producers from all over the world to still be a part of the show.
Okay. All right. That's yeah. That's
so far we have a lot of things going on, like a lot of things still in the works for the show. And it's really it's a baby. It's we're looking at like 7 to 8 months in the making.
Got you. This Wednesday, we're rocking again, right? You got the next edition.
The 15th.
What's lined up for this event? What, when people were hearing us talking, they're like, "Yo, this sounds exciting." What are they going to see when they walk into the Black Bear Bar?
What I've been doing is, sorry, go ahead.
I said you got special guest Rabbi Darkside hosting this Wednesday.
Yeah, Daron's usually the host of the show, but this Wednesday we got Rabbi Darkside doing his thing.
All right.
What I've been changing up in the show is that before the last round, when the audience is at its peak, you know, we take in like a really small break from the competition. I always have a pre-finale performance. And then what I've been doing is performances outside of just a rapper on stage and doing his thing. I've had a violinist get up on the show before with the DJ just supplying hip-hop tracks. And actually, this Wednesday, I got my homegirl Sonia Choi, who is a cellist, who is going to be incorporating a beatboxer with her playing the cello, as well as dancers in the background, and also a guitarist. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow.
Something different.
Okay.
I know. Tonight I'm going to tweet and Facebook everybody about it. We've been working on this for a while, and she's going to hook up with Johnny Buffalo, beatboxer extraordinaire. And
no
they're
doubt.
Both going to perform before the last round. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, that's what's up. We certainly support everyone who brings in, you know, that's the whole thing about hip-hop music, you know, is that you can bring in, I mean, from day one, it's always incorporated every aspect of music throughout its history, from sampling or just, you know, interpolations, and people forget that and don't incorporate that enough, and that's super dope. We definitely commend you for that.
We're going to have breakdancers in the show. We're going to have spoken word artists in the show as well. You know, just to give people different elements as well as the hip-hop competition.
That's what's up, Daron. You're taking a vacation, like you said. You know,
No. Some of y'all may know that I'll probably show up there. Just won't be able to host it from the beginning because I'll be coming from another performance that I'll be doing. But
that's what's up.
You know, I'm always in support.
While I got you, tell me about Ugly Brain. Tell me about what you're doing, because you've had a great run in the last, I guess, you know, year, half year, touching the stage at the legendary Blue Note Jazz Club in Manhattan. What are you working on?
Nice portfolio with the Rockettes as well.
Yeah. So just real quick while we got you, you're not just the host of this event, but you're, you know, a bona fide artist in your own right, and you have a whole thing going on. Tell people what you're up to, man.
Oh, man, salute. Well, the record Ugly is the New Lovely, Daron Lev and the band Ugly Brain. That was released in October at the Blue Note. Since then, we did a little traveling around the States. We hit Miami. We did a little bit in the Northeast, here and there, a show in Philly. And then we came back to the Blue Note. And then after that, we were blessed to be asked to come overseas, to go overseas to Switzerland, where we did a handful of shows there. We were completely well-received. You know, I've been rocking with this other show called Invincible. We got to do NJ Pack and the Apollo, and all these things have been a blessing. And, you know, we got a show with the After Hours Cypher. It's a sponsored event. After Hours sponsored event, it's going to be on the 24th. There's a lot getting ready to happen. The Brooklyn Wildlife Festival, Ugly Brain will be performing there. And, you know, we've been looking for all the livest little underground warehouse spots. We did the Kimberly Project. We did this other, like, graffiti warehouse art space in Queens. You know, any place where 300 people can gather with, like, one security guard and nothing happens except love, that's what I'm about, you know?
That's a great line item in a rider, you know? Yeah, we want 300 people, one security guard, all love. I like that. That's good.
That's all it says in the flyer. Then you got to look at the website for more info.
That's all good.
Yeah, uglybrain.com, theronlev.com. Saying, you know, you could always check out what's good from, you know, going on. Always a lot. And appreciate being on with you. Birthplace is the officialness right there.
I'm glad I met Manny Faces a while ago over at Freestyle Mondays, man. And Daron Lev, I met him at Freestyle Mondays as well. Shout out to Ill Spoken.
Absolutely.
Spoken in Freestyle Mondays family. You know, we're a partner of, you know, a marketing partner, you know, a friend of Freestyle Mondays. And it's one of the reasons why we love that event so much is the same reasons why, you know, we're coming to love your event so much. It really focuses on the ultimate, what I think personally, this is my opinion, what is the ultimate creative outlet in hip hop, you know, in rapping and emceeing, you know, that freestyle vibe, the little competition, but like you said at the very beginning of this interview, the love, you know, the community aspect. It's nobody really exactly trying to get at each other. It's nobody, you're not going to have a, was a dude, was it Daylight or some, one of the battle rappers punched the other rapper in the face. Like, that's not going to happen. You know, at one of the, now sometimes
that degrades the hip hop community, and that's why we're why they're not allowed to talk trash to each other.
Nah, it's you know, because you know someone can't control themselves. But again, Freestyle Monday is what, 13 years in the game. It used to be a weekly event, so like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of events where nothing has popped off, but the ultimate in
freestyle.
In creativity, you know what I mean? You guys are following in that trend where you have a, you know, you said it three or four times, that the focus is not even the battle. The focus is on the networking. The focus is on the bringing together of lyricists and producers and like-minded folks who dig it. So they dig it. That's why I dig it. That's why we dig it. That's why we wanted to have you on and tell people about it, man. So salute to you guys.
Thank you. Can you dig it?
All right. Once again, Supreme Bars, the ultimate MC and producer tournament happening this Wednesday night, July 15th, the Black Bear Bar. I've missed a couple. I expect to be in the house. So since I'm going to be there and I think I'm important, y'all better turn out for me, man. Let me have a good show and check it out. But,
but yo, I'm working on, I got a little graph illustration I'm doing for Berkeley. I'm going to send it your way when I'm done with it. It's nice. Putting in the nice colors. You're going to like it.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Oh, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah,
oh, that's what's up. Thank you, sir. Well, we appreciate what y'all doing, man. And like I said, anytime, you know, Steve, myself on this show or the birthplacemag.com site, man, any chance I get to spread the gospel, I will do so. You keep
Thank you so much, man.
You keep living up to it. Me make it easy, man, because y'all do good stuff, and I'm glad to tell people about it. Supreme Bars, the ultimate MC and producer tournament this Wednesday. And what is it? Is it like the third Wednesday of every month? Is that how it goes?
Third Wednesday every month. Yep.
There it is. Black Bear Bar. Shouts to the Black Bear Bar, man. A lot of venues, you know, closing down in New York City. A lot of venues don't want to, you know, F with hip-hop, but they do, and not just you guys, but they put on other, you know, shows that are hip-hop-oriented. So shouts to them. We want to encourage people to go there and you know, partake in their beverages and all the things that are good at the Black Bear Bar. This Wednesday, July 15th, doors open at 8 o'clock. Is that what you guys do?
Doors open at 8. Show starts around 8:30, 8:45.
All right.
And, yeah.
All right, what's the cost to get in there for people?
It's $7 at the door, $5 with the flyer. So more than likely, if I talk to you about the show, I gave you a flyer, it's only $5. Or there's a discount at Eventbrite, which is supremebars.eventbrite.com. That's the ticketed site. And it's cheaper if you go through Eventbrite as well.
All right, that's what's up, man. Listen, let me tell you something, people. You like hip-hop, I don't care if you're old, I don't care if you're new, old school, new school. You know, and what we talk about is we have people come to this show and they don't exactly know what to expect. I don't care if you're the, you know, the highbrowiest, you know, hip-hop purist, or you're the thuggiest thug that listens to trap music all day. You're going to have a good time. You're going to enjoy these performances. If you're fans of either style of hip-hop, you're going to have a good time at Supreme Bars. $5 is nothing. $7 is still nothing. Support these folks that are doing good stuff and bringing good talent to the table. And we'll be there checking you guys out, man, rocking with you, and salute, man.
I should probably note that it is ladies free before 9 o'clock. I probably should have included that little...
Yeah. That's probably the most important thing you've said all night. So.
That is.
But shouts to the ladies. And you know what it is? It's really funny because hip-hop has that weird rap where, you know, it's male dominated. It's that, you know, and there are certain events that I think, you know, not for nothing, are a little more friendly to the fairer sex, you know, and this would be one of them. So we encourage you know, our sisters to come out and check it out, and it's a good place and it's a good vibe, man. Absolutely.
So
no doubt, man.
All right, thanks, gentlemen. Yeah, Roberto De Jesus and Duran Lev, Ugly Brain representative, checking out representative for Supreme Bars. Thanks for checking in with the New York Hip Hop Report, guys.
You're amazing. Thank you so much, Manny.
Peace. All right, brother.
Thank you.
Peace.
I'll be safe.
All right. So it is, once again, Roberto De Jesus and Duran Lev from the Supreme Bars monthly event happening this Wednesday and every third Wednesday of the month at the Black Bear Bar. MC battle and producer showcase battle at the same time. It's amazing.
$5 too, man? Oh, man.
It's actually good. Like, we talk about it, Steve. We say, like, sometimes you got to sit through some garbage. You know, when you want to explore the, you know, the independent New York scene, and I get it. There's a lot of people who, you know, used to be into hip hop so heavy, and you know, we got lives, man. We got kids, we got jobs. Not everybody can go out on a Wednesday night. You know what I mean? At, you know, 9 o'clock at night, spend a couple of hours at a bar. Like, you know, wifey's not trying to hear. Wifey's not trying to hear that shit. You know what I mean? But there's a few places that you can go to on a work night. Go in for a couple of hours, drop $5 to support this, and you're going to actually be mad if you try to leave early, because you're going to want to stay to the end. You're going to want to see who wins. You know what I mean? You're going to enjoy the showmanship. You're going to enjoy the talent on display. You're going to enjoy the beats. I went there, listen, not for that, and I'm a beat guy too. I'm a producer. I'm a remixer. You could Google Manny Faces remixes. You'll find stuff all over the place. So I know my beats. You know what I mean? I know production. And I went there one time to this Supreme Bars event, and some of the beats I heard, I forget, the names escape me. I feel bad because I can't remember. At this point, I have it written down somewhere, and I have a list of everybody I need to follow up with about everything. But some of the producers I heard was just super dope, like really, really good tracks. A couple that were okay, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie, there were a couple that were okay, but there were a couple that just punched you in the face, and you were like, wow. And you could tell, like, that night, that producer, or that as a producer team, a two-man team, I remember. I'll find out, and I'll mention next show. I'll put in the show notes. And they were punching you in the face every beat that dropped. And listen, you know, some people, they prefer the beats over the lyrics, you know? Some people are like, I don't really listen to lyrics. It's too much, and blah, you know, complicated stuff. I just like the beat. Okay, here you can get into the beat. You know, so shouts to Supreme Bars for blending the two aspects of competitive, you know, hip hop artistry, emceeing and producer, sprinkling in some beatboxing just for, you know, performance value. They did a raffle one time I was there. They, you know, like a trivia, you know what I mean? So it was pretty dope. So shouts to them. Once again, this Wednesday, July 15th, and every third Wednesday of the month, Supreme Bars, the ultimate MC and producer tournament. Shouts to them for checking in with us. You are listening to the New York Hip Hop Report with me, Manny Faces, this guy over here, Steve Ortiz, and we're here generally Sunday nights, 10 p.m. to 11:30, giving you an hour and a half chock full of New York area hip-hop, music and culture information to feed your soul. Once again, the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival was this weekend. Seemed to have a good turnout from what I saw. Shouts to Common for bringing out, rather inexplicably, but whatever. Foxy Brown touched the stage, did her thing. Shouts to Mobb Deep and all the other performers. Shouts to our friends from the Writer's Block Concert Series, another regular event in the New York City area. Mike Hands. I know that Napoleon the Legend was on stage over there. Shabam Sadiq was up on stage, I believe. Shouts to Ralph McDaniels and Video Music Box. All of these gentlemen have been, not Napoleon, but certainly the others. And Napoleon's super dope. Have been guests on this show. So when you go to the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival and you see some cats that are rocking really heavy, like Mike Hands, like Shabam Sadiq, you see it hosted by Video Music Box, Ralph McDaniels, the great Uncle Ralph, and you realize that all of these people have been on this show, then you have to understand that there is no radio show. So, you know, whether it's FM, certainly not your commercial radio, satellite radio, internet radio, very few shows that give the love and support to New York hip hop like we do. Certainly shouts to our friends at, you know, DTF radio and GID radio and a lot of these online radio networks. They do their thing. We advocate for New York area hip hop. We talk about this all the time. We have now been heard by people around the world, and they're knowing that we're the ones that are giving you them all the info about you guys and your, you know, your local hometown artists that are doing great things. So once again, please spread the word about us. Check us out. All of our shows are archived at nyhiphopreport.com. I have a special thing, Steve. You asked me about this offline right before the show. Birthplace Magazine is our home, you know, where we write our articles and we post our posts about New York hip hop. Right now at the top of birthplacemag.com is a very important article. It's a post. And I really want to open this up to the world. If you're still listening to us, salute. Thank you for riding with us. You might be someone that fits this bill. We have a very special project that I'm developing. Quiet as cat right now. I haven't announced anything. I haven't told anyone about it. It's a two-part thing. We're doing a big thing. One of the aspects of that special project is we want to highlight people where hip-hop has saved their life. Steve, I've heard this. I've heard this phrase, you know, uttered by people throughout, you know, my days. And it's like, oh, man, hip-hop saved my life. I don't care if you're a rapper and that's all you do. If you're a rapper and, you know, rapping got you, you know, off the streets, you know, put you in a studio, made you, like, set up your basement as a little recording studio, and you got off the streets, and you know that you would have gone down a bad path, or your friends who didn't start rocking with you, like, went a certain way, and it wasn't a good look. But you know that you focusing on music literally saved your life. It got you out of a certain path that unfortunately your environment or your surroundings would have led you into, and you really honestly feel that. We want to hear from you, whether it's somebody who, you know, made friends, long-lasting relationships, creative, got a career out of it. Like, some people had no real solidified path in life, but hip-hop, and not just being a rapper, but maybe being a producer, maybe being a DJ, maybe being a journalist, maybe being a real behind-the-scenes person, was touched by hip-hop. Maybe you're a graffiti artist and you went on to get, like, become a graphic designer and get a great career with an advertising agency. Hip-hop did that, and you credit hip-hop for that. Super, super important that we hear from you. If hip-hop has saved your life or really made a gigantic positive impact on your life, I need you to go to birthplacemag.com, the very top post on birthplacemag.com right now, and it won't be far if you're listening to this later. Click the post, click the link. There's a place right there where you can record a message. It's through the computer. Everyone has a microphone on their computer now, like you're Skyping somebody. But leave a message. It's like leaving a voicemail. Leave us a message. Let us know how hip-hop saved your life, how hip-hop was such a positive influence on your life. It doesn't have to define your life. Maybe you got kids and you're like, oh, well, I mean, you know, hip-hop, I do because my kids, I want to make sure I do the right thing because I get it. But hip-hop still played a big role, and I want to hear from you. What we're trying to do is we're trying to develop something where we take stories like yours and show people all the positive benefits of hip-hop, music and culture. So if it's really contributed to your success or better state of mind or better place in life, let us know. You could be an artist. You could be a fan. You could be someone that related to an artist and, you know, they got you through some tough times. Shouts to Just Days. He's a battle rapper, and he's produced some music as well. He's from Queens. I had him on an episode in the past of a podcast I have called 6 Minutes with Manny Faces. And Just Days told me a story when I was interviewing him about how he's an inspirational guy. He has some physical disabilities, but he's, you know, worked through them. He's a super dope battle MC. He's a nice guy. He's done some great things. And there was a time, he told me a story where people came to him and said, listen, man, my wife and I were going through some tough times. Maybe it was a medical thing, or maybe even a miscarriage. Whatever it was, they were going through some times. But they looked at him and they heard, like, his raps about how he's getting through his tough times. And he was an inspiration to them. And it was a really touching story, and I enjoyed it very much. I'd like to hear from them. those kind of people. It doesn't have to be a rapper who, like, oh, I became a rapper and it saved me from, you know, running the streets. It could be, regular people, fans, who were touched by an artist that helped them get through a certain amount of trials and tribulations. So if you're listening to this and you're one of them people, or you know somebody who might fit the bill, please send them to birthplacemag.com. We hear so much about hip-hop being misrepresented in the media and, you know, on the radio, and I'm really looking forward to putting this project together where I get some of the really incredible stories that exemplify how great hip-hop can be and how much of a positive influence it can be. So please, birthplacemag.com, click the post, leave your message. If it's not you but it's somebody you know, spread the word. Go to that post and share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter. It's super important that we get some. I've had a couple responses so far that have been exactly what we're looking for. We won't share them with anybody without your permission. So, you know, we're looking for people to give us their kind of personal pitch. Like, it's like a 3-minute recording, but give me 30 seconds. Tell me why, and then we're going to contact you back. I'm not going to share it with anybody. We're not going to, you know, broadcast it. It can be private and personal, but we're going to reach out to you to follow up. So, again, please, birthplacemag.com. How hip-hop has saved your life, or, you know, been such a great positive impact on you. Leave a message for this special project we're working on. We expect that it's going to get some attention, and we really want to hear from people that have these really compelling, inspirational stories. So I put that out as an open call, and I hope that y'all, whoever's listening to this, will, you know, participate or pass it along. Yeah. It's going to be cool, Steve. It's going to be good.
Oh, definitely. I mean, hip-hop has touched a lot of lives.
Yeah.
Stories of where people's, you know, lyrics have gotten people through a tough situation. So, you know, it's hip-hop has touched. I mean, look at us. We're so passionate about us. I mean, hip-hop has obviously had, you know, a great impact on our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, you know, shouts to our guests. You know, shouts to our guests tonight, Roberto De Jesus and Duran Lev from Supreme Bars. Shouts to, you know, again, they mentioned Freestyle Mondays. Shouts to just all the organizations and events and individuals who are, you know, down for hip-hop, like for more than just the popping bottles in a club crowd. I love to get, you know, have a good night out in a club, and just, you know, drink my wolves away, dance, get turned up, look at the flick of the wrist. I'm not so much of an old freaking purist traditionalist that I look down on what's happening today. And I think that rap has evolved and hip hop is, you know, different than it once was. And we should embrace that, not turn up our nose at it. But at the same time, if you are, you know, looking for more than what the radio gives you, you know, it's out there, and it can really, like you said, be an inspiration. You know, you be passionate about it, and you can become a part of that lifestyle without sacrifice, like the good parts of that lifestyle, the community of hip-hop. You know, we've met so many good folks in New York City alone, you know, who are doing stuff, and it's not just fans of Top 40 rap radio, you know what I mean? It's people who are engaged and really community-minded, and we, you know, we enjoy that aspect of it. So I'm trying to exemplify that. I'm trying to give examples of that. Please give us your story, birthplacemag.com. Has hip-hop saved your life or been a positive impact? We want to, you know, help share your story or just learn about people who feel that way. You know, so even if you don't want to tell people your story, tell us so that we can tell it anonymously, you know, so to speak. So birthplacemag.com. Other than that, Birthplace Magazine will sort of be on hiatus for a little while. I'm going to still post some things. I'm overdue on so many things, man. We're always looking for writers and help, you know, covering the New York hip-hop scene. There's so much going on that we really could use some help and some interns and some volunteers and even some paid work, you know, for writers who do, like, full features and long pieces and such. So if you're interested in any of these things, you know, let us know. Birthplacemag.com is a contact form there. If you're interested in this show, nyhiphopreport.com, we have all of our episodes archived. We'll be doing this show, I think, biweekly for the rest of the summer. So not quite a hiatus, but we're going to kind of switch it off and on. just because I need to be honest with you guys, to personally free up some time for this other big special project. So I think by September or so, we'll be back to weekly with this show. We'll be back to, you know, full blast with BirthplaceMag.com. The BirthplaceMag.com event calendar will still be 100% in effect mode. So if you're looking for, you know, things to do in the area, please do check that. That should be your go-to spot for anything that's hip-hop or rap-related. Steve, we'll keep populating that and giving the people what they need to know for the next couple of months. We'll be back here every other Sunday just to kind of like give us a little breathing room while we work on these other projects. And then by September, we'll have a brand new thing on the horizon. Please do check out the Manny Faces show. It's not always hip-hop, but it's, if you're listening to me now, you will like that show. I guarantee it. Every other Thursday on Bonfire Radio. Bonfire Radio is having a they're a great station, man. You got to check them out. Bonfire Radio, they're in Brooklyn. They're local. They're community-based. They have a morning show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They are the internet radio station you need to pay attention to. They're having a great audio marathon coming up, so stay tuned to them. They have a great lineup of broadcasters and shows and information, and the Manny Faces show is one show on there. I interview creatives this week, Thursday, 8:30. It'll be the 16th. The Manny Faces show will be back, start of season 2 on BonfireRadio.com. I interview an amazing dude, man. Well, two amazing dudes. The names are Baba Israel and Yakko 440. They're part of a group that we've talked to on this show called Soul Inscribed. You remember, Steve, we had Soul Inscribed. And Baba Israel and Yakko 440 are actually taking time and to create a big multimedia show based on – I had no idea about this, Steve. This is crazy. Baba Israel is an MC. He's a rapper. He's a beatboxer. He does so many great things. Yakko 440, a beatboxer, an instrumentalist, plays instruments, works the drum machine, does all this stuff. But Baba Israel's father was his name is Steve Ben Israel, and he was a beat poet slash comedian slash during like the 60s and early 70s. So very much like during the beat poets, you know, run and, anti-capitalism, against the war, and like that whole kind of rocking with the jazz musicians, you know, doing their poetry and comedy. And so for like the 50s, 60s, 70s, this guy was a pretty big deal in East Village, the Village Gate and, all those old places where he was in that scene. So Baba Israel is actually putting together a show, remixing. His father died. Steve Ben Israel died in 2012. Baba Israel is a hip-hop theater artist. He's a hip-hop performance artist. He's remixing a lot of his father's stuff, and he's doing a big show about it along with Yakko 440 on the, with beats. We're talking about audio-visual. We're talking about clips from his father's performances, remixed. They're making beats out of it. They're rapping over it. They're doing poetry. It's going to be a big, big thing at the Brick House, the Brooklyn, multimillion-dollar art center in January. They're doing like a 10-day festival. It's an incredible story, and it's an incredible thing coming up that's going to have a lot of hip-hop, a lot of spoken word, a lot of music, a lot of poetry, all coming together to celebrate this one man's life and his, fight against, some of the evils in the world, I guess. You know what I mean? So my interview with them will be airing this Thursday on the Manny Faces show on Bonfire Radio. So I say that because I'm bigging myself up, but I think people listening to this show would be really interested in his show. So Bonfire Radio, 8:30 p.m. this Thursday, the 16th of July. And of course, it'll be on mannyfaces.com as an archive show if you miss it live as well. We'll be back here next Sunday, Steve. So much going on, man, that we didn't even get a chance to touch on. There's always, some gossipy shit happening in New York hip hop. Papoose and Remy Ma are joining Love and Hip Hop. They're actually going to be on the
I saw that.
The VH1 show, I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I definitely want to talk about what happens on, how the rest of the world sees hip-hop. And Papoose got a new joint coming out. He's got an album that's about to drop. We're going to get our hands on that. We're going to talk about that because Papoose has been an interesting figure in New York hip-hop for a long time. Once heralded as a savior of New York hip hop. Once getting $1 million, you know, Jive Records, $1 million record deal, and then fading into relative obscurity for a long period of time, making some noise here and there, and now really about to merge, and possibly, you know, possibly getting the just due that maybe he's deserved for a long time. With the release of his new album. So we'll talk about that coming up next week or in the next 2 weeks. Yeah, just some random things like that. But once again, we thank our guests for calling in tonight. You guys can call us up on a regular basis. We'll be here, and we want you guys to call in live. So if you're checking out the live archive of the show, do note that we are live when we do this show. Sunday nights, 10 p.m. to 11:30, alternating Sundays for the rest of this summer. So we'll be back on the 26th, July 26th. Call us up, tune in live, 10 p.m. July 26th, and give us your 2 cents, man. We'd love to hear what you think about things. We'll be here, Steve, up in the Bronx where the people are fresh. Crotona Park jams are happening right around your way every Thursday, man. And, you know, they have a good time at the park jams. So I'll have to come up there and hang out with you up in the Bronx sometime soon.
That's what's up, man.
Word up. All right, yo, thanks for checking in, man. Steve, thanks for joining me and keeping me company over here as we bring to everyone the amazing assortment of New York area hip-hop. My name is Manny Faces. Again, birthplacemag.com is our mothership. Steve Ortiz, thank you again for joining me, and we'll be back here on the 26th as we rock the bi-weekly schedule for the rest of the summertime. Enjoy your summer. New York City, we had a great weekend, man. It was a beautiful weather weekend. And, you know, hopefully we keep this up for a few more weeks. You know what I mean?
For sure. Hasn't been too hot. It's been good.
It's been nice, right? This weekend was really nice. So shouts to Mother Nature and New York City, who have been combining to make it a beautiful weekend. And we'll catch you back here on the 26th, man. Once again, nyhiphopreport.com. For all of our past shows, information, email list. Please sign up for the email list so that you know what's coming. And we'll see you back here on the 26th. Birthplacemag.com/events for that event calendar. We'll see you this Saturday. I'll be at the Women in Melanoid Art Exhibition and Sale down in Chelsea. This Wednesday, we'll be at Supreme Bars. Wednesday night at the Black Bear Bar in Brooklyn. And, you know, we'll pop up. We're here. We're here and there throughout the city, these hip-hop events. You never know when you'll find us. So make sure if you see us or if you hear about us, you know, grab us and say what's up, man. We're always willing to talk to our New York City area hip-hop brethren. Catch you next time. This is the New York Hip-Hop Report. My name is Manny Faces. Thanks again to Steve Ortiz. We will be back on the 26th. Peace out.
Peace.
Yes. For sure, we need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists.
Indeed. We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
This is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Manny Faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. Della made clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York stitch.